Let's begin with prayer. Dear Father, we thank you for this good day that you've given to us. We thank you for meeting with us when we pray. And now as we partake of the Lord's Supper, we pray that you would teach us the purpose and the point and the environment of the Lord's Supper. And we thank you for what you're teaching us, even in this moment of partaking of the Lord's Supper together. And so we pray that you'd open your word to us and teach us from your word. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, tonight I have 2 points, and the first point is going to be relatively brief. The first point is Thanksgiving is not the point of the Lord's Supper. Thanksgiving is not the point of the Lord's Supper. Faith is the point of the Lord's Supper. The point of the Lord's Supper is to make sure that you believe that Christ died for you, that his body is for you, and that your sins are forgiven in Christ. And so that's the point of the Lord's Supper, not Thanksgiving. Faith is more important than Thanksgiving. And that might be hard to believe, but it is more important than Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is very important, but faith is more basic even than Thanksgiving. And let me just give you one example of that before I move to my second point. From a couple of different passages, though. It's from the children of Israel at a big turning point for them at Kadesh Barnea, when the Lord told them they would have to wander 40 years in the wilderness. And Numbers 14:11, and I am going to turn to a ton of verses on this message, so they'll be quick. The Lord said to Moses, Numbers 14:11, "How long will this people spurn me, and how long will they not believe in me, despite all the signs which I performed in their midst?" And this was a turning point for them. You might think that the Lord would say, how ungrateful are these people after all I've done for them, all I've shown them, the plagues, the Red Sea crossing, the water from the rock, and they're still not thankful to me. But instead, his complaint against them is that they do not believe, and that's because belief is more more basic even than Thanksgiving. Deuteronomy chapter 1 and verse 31 says, "In the wilderness where you saw how the Lord your God carried you, just as a man carried his son, in all the way which you've walked till you came to this place, but for all this you did not trust the Lord your God." And you might think again, you might say, for all this you weren't very thankful for all that I did carrying you like a son. But instead he says, you did not trust. That's the thing that he's concerned about. And then Psalm 78, and this is a historical psalm, and it traces the things that the Lord did for the children of Israel, starting in verse 12. He wrought wonders before the fathers in the land of Egypt and the land of Zoan. He divided the sea and caused them to pass through. He made the waters stand up like a heap. He led them with a cloud by day and all the night with a light of fire. He split the rocks in the wilderness, gave them abundant drink like the ocean depths. He brought forth streams also from the rock and caused waters to run down like rivers. Yet they continued to sin against him, to rebel against the Most High in the desert. And in their hearts they put God to the test by asking food according to their desire. Then they spoke against God and they said, can God prepare a table in the wilderness? Behold, he struck the rock so that waters gushed out and streams were overflowing. Can he give bread also? Will he provide meat for his people? Therefore the Lord heard and was full of wrath. And fire was kindled against Jacob, and anger also mounted against Israel, because they did not believe in God, and they did not trust in his salvation. So again, his wrath was kindled against them, not because they weren't thankful for all those things that he did for them, but because they did not trust him, and they did not believe in his salvation. Now, they were unthankful, and they shouldn't have been unthankful, but the Lord zeroes in on their lack of trusting in him after he had done all those things. And so Thanksgiving is not the point of the Lord's Supper. Faith and trusting in Christ is the point and the purpose of the Lord's Supper, and why we do this so often. So that's my first point. Thanksgiving is not the point of the Lord's Supper, and I hope to clear that fairly briefly. The second point is this. Thanksgiving is the environment of the Lord's Supper. Thanksgiving is the environment of the whole supper and of the whole Lord's Supper. So for the day of prayer, our theme was request with thanksgiving. And so when you make a request to the Lord, the whole environment of that request ought to be with an attitude of thanksgiving. That's the way in which we make requests to the Lord. And it's the same with the Lord's Supper. So thanksgiving is the whole environment of the Lord's Supper before, during, and after partaking in the Lord's Supper. But it's not the point. It's the environment. The point is faith. And so it's the environment of the Lord's Supper is thanksgiving. And I want to spend a little more time on that point. Thomas Goodwin is an English Puritan from the 1600s, and he preached a sermon on thanksgiving, and he called it a discourse on thankfulness. And he asked this question: what is thankfulness? It is a free rendering to God. It is a free rendering to God the glory of His goodness, principally to the end that we may glorify it and testify our love to Him. So thanksgiving or thankfulness is a free rendering to God, giving Him, rendering to Him the glory of His goodness, principally to the end that we may glorify His goodness and testify of our love to Him. And then he goes on to describe thankfulness. The nature of thankfulness does consist, and hereby is expressed, that this act has reference and relation to something received. To something received. And so that's what thankfulness always has reference to. If I give anyone anything never so freely, if it be not in relation to something received from him, it hath not the nature of thankfulness. It is giving, but not thanksgiving. When a man first, but when a man begins first to consider with himself that he hath received from God, and upon that ground he returns an acknowledgement of the mercy, that which he doth return to him is thankfulness. So the purpose of the Lord's Supper is to remember that you've received something from the Lord. That's the point. And that you're continuing to receive from the Lord. And so thankfulness has to be based on that, and should be the whole environment of the Lord's Supper. So the purpose of the Lord's Supper is to receive, and the environment of the Lord's Supper is thanksgiving. How do we know that? How do we know that? Well, the Lord Jesus gave thanks for the bread and for the cup when he instituted the Lord's Supper. And so he set the tone for what the environment of the Lord's Supper should be about. It should be an environment of thanksgiving. How many times is the account of the Lord instituting the Lord's Supper given in Scripture? Four times. Once in Matthew, once in Mark, once in Luke, and once in 1 Corinthians. So I want to show you all of them, but I'm going to take a shortcut. Matthew and Mark are so much the same, I'm just going to show you Matthew. So Matthew 26 and verse 26. While they were eating, Jesus took some bread, and after blessing, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." So he told them what to do with the bread. But before he did that, he blessed, is literally what it says. Jesus took some bread, and after blessing, he broke it, gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." I'll give you several Greek words tonight. There's two Greek words for blessing in the Bible, and the first is the word makarios. It means happiness, and it's in the Beatitudes. So blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are the meek, blessed are you when men persecute you for the sake of righteousness. It's happy. The Lord is describing the state of happiness. There's a second Greek word for blessing that's used in the Bible, and it's the word eulogeo. And it means literally, you is good, and lageo is to speak, and so it's to speak well of someone. So Ephesians 1 verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who's blessed us with every blessing in the spiritual places. That blessed be is eulogeo, speaking well of God. Or 1 Peter 1 3, Blessed be the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who's caused us to be born again with a living hope. Let me do it right. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And again, Peter there is saying, eulogeo, well spoken. Now, he's not ascribing happiness to God, although he probably could, but he's saying, I want to speak well of God by talking about his salvation. And so that's the word eulogeo. And so the Lord in Matthew and in Mark, for the bread, he blessed, he spoke well of God for the bread before he instituted the Lord's Supper. Today I gave a eulogy, or I read a eulogy for Lowell and Lowell Hart. And a eulogy is easy to give for someone like that. There's plenty of good things to speak well of someone like that. And so a eulogy for someone who's lived a Christian life as long as him sort of writes itself. But that's to speak well of someone, and that's part of a funeral service. But this is and that's the word that's used here in Matthew and Mark for the bread. Is he blessed? He spoke well of God as he broke the bread. The cup in Matthew 26:27. When he had taken a cup and given thanks. So he blessed God with the bread, eulogeo. When he had taken a cup and given thanks, he gave it to them saying, drink from it all of you. And this word for giving thanks, it's a very good translation of what it is. It's the word for thanksgiving. And it's the Greek word, and this is the last one I'll give you tonight. It's the Greek word eucharisto, eucharisto. And I think it comes from the word good, you, and then actually a word grace, which can also mean gratitude. So it's to give good gratitude. It's to give thanks. And this is the word that Matthew and Mark use that the Lord give for the cup, is that he thanked. When he had taken a cup and given thanks, he gave it to them. Now, some people call the Lord's Supper the Eucharist. It's from this word. It's from this passage. This is why they call it that. You won't hear me calling the Lord's Supper the Eucharist, because as I said before, Thanksgiving is not the point of the Lord's Supper. It's the environment of the Lord's Supper, but it's not the point of the Lord's Supper. So you won't hear me calling it the Eucharist, although that's not far off the mark, because Thanksgiving is the environment of the Lord's Supper. And so you won't hear me calling it the Eucharist, but that's not a terrible thing to call it, because it's descriptive of the whole environment of the Lord's Supper. Eucharisto, giving thanks. That's what he did when he took the cup. Well, we won't turn to the one in Luke. It's Luke 22:17-20. But in Luke's account, the word Eucharisto, giving thanks, is used not only for the cup, but also for the bread. And so the Lord gave thanks. It's a synonym for blessing, eulogeo, to God. And so in Luke's account, the Lord gave thanks for the bread, and he gave thanks for the cup before instituting the Lord's Supper. And then look at 1 Corinthians 11. This is the fourth account. First Corinthians 11:23. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, that's the word Eucharisto again, when he had given thanks for the bread, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. So he gives thanks, Eucharisto, for the bread in 1 Corinthians. And then what does it say in verse 25? In the same way, he took the cup after supper, saying, this is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. So he gave thanks when he took the bread, and then in the same way, well, he gave thanks again when he took the cup. And so he did it in the same way. Again, this Eucharisto, or this thanksgiving, is the environment for the whole Lord's Supper. It's not the point. Faith is the point, but it's the environment for the whole Lord's Supper. There's a wonderful hymn in our hymnal 359, and it says this: 'Twas on the night when doomed to know the eager rage of every foe, that night in which he was betrayed, the Savior of the world took bread. And after thanks and glory given.'" And so it seems to share the same as Thomas Goodwin idea of what Thanksgiving is. It's to give glory to God for his goodness is the same as giving thanks. "After thanks and glory given to him that rules in earth and heaven, that symbol of his flesh he broke, and thus to all his followers spoke. 'My broken body thus I give, for you, for all, take, eat, and live, and oft the sacred rite renew that brings my saving love to view. Then in his hand the cup he raised, and God anew he thanked and praised, while kindness in his bosom glowed, and from his lips salvation flowed. 'My blood I thus pour forth,' he cries, 'to cleanse the soul in sin that lies. In this the covenant is sealed, and heaven's eternal grace revealed.'" And that's a great description. Sometimes the hymn writers are able to capture even more than the theologians in what they are able to put into lyrics. So the instituting of the Lord's Supper was an extraordinary act that the Lord did. There's been nothing ever like it before or since of him instituting the Lord's Supper. But he smuggled that extraordinary act into the most ordinary thankfulness, just giving thanks for your meal, giving thanks for your bread and for your for the cup. And there's a reason for that. There's a reason he did that. Is because the ordinary act of giving thanks for daily bread teaches us about salvation, which is an act of giving. Salvation is an act of giving in the same way that the Lord gives us bread. That's not the first time that the Lord smuggled an extraordinary act into a very ordinary act of thanksgiving. And he did it twice during his ministry, in the feeding of the 5,000 and the feeding of the 4,000. So I'll just turn to John for the feeding of the 5,000. John 6:11. "Jesus then took the loaves, and having given thanks," Eucharisto, "he distributed it to those who were seated, likewise also of the fish, as much as they wanted, and they were filled. And he said to his disciples, 'Gather up the leftover fragments, so that nothing will be lost.'" And of course, this is the miraculous feeding of the 5,000, a very key event in the ministry, a turning point in the ministry of the Lord Jesus. And remember John's account kind of meanders after that and goes to the next day when they're looking for him. So in verse 22 of the same chapter, "The next day, the crowd that stood on the other side of the sea saw that there was no other small boat there except one, and that Jesus had not entered with the disciples into the boat, but that his disciples had gone away alone. There came other small boats from Tiberias near to the place where they ate the bread after the Lord had given thanks." And that's kind of an odd way to describe, especially after the events happened. You know, they came to the place where they ate the bread when the Lord fed 5,000 people with just a boy's lunch. No, he doesn't say that. He says they came near the place where they ate the bread after the Lord had given thanks. And so there's a significance to this and at that time, as well as a significance to it in another extraordinary time when he institutes the Lord's Supper. Well, look at the feeding of the 4,000 and turn to Matthew 15:35. Matthew 15:35. So this is not long afterwards, a few months or something like that. "He directed the people to sit down on the ground. He took the 7 loaves and the fish, and giving thanks," Eucharisto, "he broke them and started giving them to the disciples. And the disciples gave them to the people. They all ate and were satisfied, and they picked up what was left over of the broken pieces, seven large baskets full, and those who ate were 4,000 men, besides women and children. And so again, he smuggled an extraordinary act again into the most ordinary act of giving thanks to make it the whole environment of this miracle, an environment of thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is an environment for many things, including the Lord's Supper and including many other things. By the way, it is important for you to give thanks to God for your food. It's your meals. And so the Lord taught his disciples to pray, "Give us this day our daily bread." He taught the disciples to pray that, to pay attention to that, and to pray that first of the request, because in the same way, almost as a parable, as the Lord gives, that's what the request is, daily bread, he also gives forgiveness of trespasses. He also gives deliverance from the evil one. And so the Lord gives, and the daily bread is a good reminder of that, and it's something that Christians ought to give thanks for. And you find that in the New Testament. So Acts chapter 27. And this is Paul's shipwreck. Acts 27, verse 34. This strange prisoner started making a real impression on them on this voyage that went wrong. And so Acts 28, verse 34. Paul says, "Therefore I encourage you to take some food, for this is for your preservation, for not a hair from the head of any of you will perish." He knows they're going to be saved, but they're going to have to swim for it, and they need something to eat in their belly. Having said this, he took bread and gave thanks to God in the presence of all, and he broke it and began to eat. And so this is the way Christians eat, and this is the way Paul ate, another kind of extraordinary time, a very ordinary act of giving thanks. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 30 and 31. And this is where Paul's talking about how Christians should eat without offending one another. He says, "If I partake with thankfulness, why am I slandered concerning that for which I give thanks? Whether then you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God." And so he talks about eating with thankfulness, and it's actually part of giving glory to God. Thankfulness and glorifying God for his goodness, giving him the glory of his goodness, is related, and it's to be done when Christians eat. Romans 14 and verse 6. Says, "He who observes the day observes it for the Lord, and he who eats does so for the Lord, for he gives thanks to God. And he who eats not for the Lord, he does not eat, and gives thanks to God." So Thanksgiving is definitely the environment for eating, and here it's the environment for not eating as well. But Christians certainly give thanks for their food when they eat. 1 Timothy 4. And verses 1 through 5, and I'll read starting in verse 3. It talks about men who will come in later times who are false teachers, who abstain from foods which God has created to be gratefully shared in by those who believe and know the truth. And that word gratefully is a word for thanksgiving. "For everything created by God is good, and nothing is to be rejected, for it is received with gratitude. For it is sanctified by means of the word of God and prayer." And so it says there's going to become some who abstain from food and abstain from marriage. And of course, the church has seen both of those. But Paul says you're not to abstain from certain foods or abstain from certain marriage, abstain from marriage for those reasons, because those are sanctified and holy by the giving of thanks. And so prayer is something that's fitting, again, for Christians to do when they eat. Well, has God ever used food and thanksgiving for food as a parable, as an example for the way that he saves and gives salvation and forgiveness of sins before the New Testament? Well, yes. Turn to Deuteronomy 8 and verse 3. It says, he humbled you and let you be hungry and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you understand that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by everything that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord. And so the Lord gave the children of Israel manna as a free gift to teach them not about food, but to teach them that man lives by everything that comes out of the mouth of God. And so the word of God and everything that it promises is a free gift, just like manna, and that was to be a reminder to them. John chapter 6, and this is the last one we'll go to, but the Lord teaches about manna and about himself. So John chapter 6 and verse 32. Jesus then said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread out of heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread out of heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down out of heaven and gives life to the world. Then they said to him, Lord, always give us this bread. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will not hunger, and he who believes in me will never thirst. And then he continues in verse 47. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, and they died. This is the bread which comes down out of heaven, so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down out of heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread which I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. So Thanksgiving is not the point of the Lord's Supper. Faith is. Faith is the point of the Lord's Supper. And the words of institution of the Lord's Supper point at faith. They direct themselves to awaken and encourage and nurture faith. We live by the every word that comes out of the mouth of God. So Thanksgiving is not the point of the Lord's Supper. Faith is, that is, faith in everything God is giving you, everything that he's giving you by his promise, everything that he has given you by his promise, and that he's continuing to give you by his promise. So remember that as you believe that Thanksgiving, as you partake of the Lord's Supper tonight, that Thanksgiving is not the point of the Lord's Supper. It's all directed towards faith. But I hope you also remember this too as we partake of the Lord's Supper tonight, that Thanksgiving is the whole environment of the Lord's Supper. Let's give thanks to the Lord. Dear Father, we give thanks to you for the blessings of this day. We give thanks to you for the blessings of the Lord's Supper that we're about to partake in and for what it means, all the blessings of salvation. We glorify you for your goodness in saving us. We thank you for sending your Son as a gift to us and giving us the gift of salvation. And so it's with thankful hearts that we listen to the words of Scripture as we partake of the Lord's Supper and believe the things that it says about us and about Christ. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.